Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to AmagiMetals.com and check them out. That's AmagiMetals.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report. Today is Monday, March 31st, and welcome back to the show. Ian, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. How was your weekend?
It was pretty nice.
Excellent. I went shooting with some friends this weekend. Felt like a man. Went and got some barbecue afterwards, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. It seems like the kind of thing that white people would enjoy. Don't you think so? That's just a white people thing to do,
right? I suppose that is the stereotype,
eat barbecue and shoot guns. Only white people could enjoy that,
right? I do like both of those things, yeah, so but, guilty as charged.
Well, that makes you racist.
I suppose so.
And we're going to talk about racism today. And I only bring this up, obviously, because as two white men, we obviously don't have an opinion. Or at least our opinion has less merit.
Well, really, Austin, we have no right to speak about this topic.
We have no right to talk about what we're going to talk about as white men. How dare we even think about talking about the circular firing squad of liberal racism that goes haywire.
You should know, listeners, that as soon as Austin and I complete this podcast, we will be arrested by the PC Thought Crime Police.
The Thought Crime Police are out, and they are in full force, as Dr. Benjamin Carson actually said to President Obama in his famous speech. He said that the PC police are out in full force at all times, Mr. President. He said that right to his face, which I thought was fantastic. But, you know, he could say it as a black man to the president, but how dare a white man say the same thing? If that had been a white man, a white doctor who had said that to President Obama, there's no way that thing would have gotten as much play.
Well, thank God we have the First Amendment and don't live in Canada or many European countries where the thought crime police are actual police and there are quote-unquote hate speech laws.
Exactly. So here we are. We have a thought crime policeman that we're going to be talking about today. Her name is Sue Park. A Stephen Colbert joke about the Redskins controversy led to a fierce Twitter backlash, and cancel Colbert became a huge trend. Sue Park, the activist who started the trend, got into a heated debate Friday morning with HuffPost Live's Josh Zepps over satire and white privilege, with Park scolding him for, quote, patronizing her. She said she's frustrated with how Asian Americans are made into a punchline and wanted to start the trend to make it clear people will be held accountable the next time they do these sort of things. Terrifying. Zepps told Park she must have missed the satire then, but Park said that she didn't. She argued that, quote, satire is supposed to punch up, which we'll debate later, and Colbert failed at that. But Zepps shot back that the point of the segment was to punch up at the Redskins. Park said, I really don't think we're going to end racism by joking about it. But things really took a turn when Park called out Zepps for his line of questioning and saying, as a white man, I don't expect you to be able to understand what people of color are actually saying. She said, white men feel entitled to talk over me. Zepps said he's not minimizing her opinion, it's just a stupid opinion. Park called him offensive and patronizing and took to Twitter afterwards to vent. Now, this all got started because...
it's very funny because she was talking over him.
She was talking over him, right, and she was trying to jump in and all of that.
In fact, when she jumped in to say you have no right to speak because of your skin color and your sex, she was talking over him.
That's correct.
Well, then proceeded to accuse him of... talking over her.
Exactly. This is girl. She's a professional feminist. You know, she's the type of person that makes her, you know, her career and her living on stirring up outrage on Twitter. She's a hashtag activist.
Outraged.
She doesn't like being called a hashtag activist, but that's really what she is because that's what she's known for, starting up hashtags. And the funny thing is about this whole debate is that the debate was supposed to be about Dan Snyder and the Redskins. And whether or not you think the Redskins' name is racist or not, you know, Dan Snyder certainly has a vested interest interest in pushing away from the topic of the table, the conversation about being about the Redskins, which actually, you know, his best friend is now Suey Park, because she has successfully taken, given him a PR campaign in a sense that takes away all the conversation about the Redskins to make it about how, about liberal white racism, which is right. Fantastic for conservatives and for libertarians, people like ourselves, because now we get to watch
Let them destroy each other.
We get to watch this circular firing squad, and we get to show just exactly how ridiculous the PC police is as they eat each other.
Regardless of whether you think the name Redskins is racist or offensive, mm-hmm. certainly a lot of the outrage against it is an example of politically correct witch hunting.
Right, that's correct.
And what's interesting here is that it's not just a circular firing squad, which is usually what comes about from political correctness, but some people in the circular firing squad were stepping out of line and firing back. Yeah. If you look at this Huffington Post interview, mm-hmm. we learned a couple interesting things. One, this was not taken out of context. Suey Park knew full well that it was satire. Mm-hmm. Her objection was that Asian Americans were being used in satire. She was objecting to satire itself.
Right.
And what else I thought was very interesting and unusual is that these two white liberal male Huffington Post hosts mm-hmm. stood up for themselves.
How dare they?
When she interrupted and said, "You have no right to speak about this topic or have an
opinion as a white male
different from mine," they joked about it. They called her opinion stupid. And I guess I have no right to speak because I'm a white man.
Well, that's what the guy at the end said. The Huffington Post politics right. editor said. He said, "Would you like to weigh in?" The host did, and the guy at the end just goes, "No, I was just informed that I don't have a right to have an opinion on this. I think I'll shut up."
I think if you look at the Ban Bossy campaign, for instance, mm-hmm. we can see that the politically correct thought police are overstepping their bounds mm-hmm. almost and tripping over themselves. And if you look at Bill Maher mm-hmm. Joe making a similar remark mm-hmm. recently on a show, if you look at these two Huffington Post mm-hmm. hosts standing up for themselves, mm-hmm. I think we're seeing the crack in the flood wall of political correctness.
Right. Well, the problem with liberal activists is that they and people who are on Twitter especially, is that they never ever put something in context, ever. Everything is always written, is said to be non-ironic. They don't have any sense of irony. So the funny thing is that, Suey here is actually, in essence, claiming that there is no ironic distance between making fun of racism and actual racism. So there's no room for satire in a liberal society. This is very much the world that George Orwell envisioned, the 1984 world of Unitarian thinking,
Right.
There's doublespeak. There is no outside thinking. It is very much
deliberate. They really have no choice but to do this. Here's what I think is going on here. I love Tom Woods' metaphor of the 3x5 note card of acceptable opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going on here is that in order to support their authoritarian and their redistributive policies, uh-huh. the establishment left needs to create this privileged narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to sustain that narrative, since they really need to grasp at straws to do so, they need to constantly be drawing forward the line of outrage. Mm-hmm. They need to be shrinking the box of acceptable opinion and pointing to more and more things mm-hmm. as outrageous and evil.
Right.
They're sort of in hunting mode.
Right.
And so since the box of acceptable opinion is shrinking, necessarily they're pushing out some of their own people. They're throwing some of their own people under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have this circular firing squad. Eventually, that box, out of desperation, is going to get too small to be able to sustain this narrative.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, and just to have some intellectual honesty on this sounds like what libertarians do when it comes to our most hardcore activists, how we have our own circular firing squad sometimes of pushing people out who don't
right.
who we see as statists and we must push out of the box.
Libertarians, though, we are on the margins of politics and we're trying to get into the mainstream.
True.
We're ascending, whereas what we're looking at here is a dying establishment narrative that is desperate to sustain itself, mm-hmm. and so it's looking for more and more scapegoats.
That's true. The difference between ours and theirs is that they are the established opinion, we are the fringe opinion
right.
who is ascendant, and we're having our circular firing squad because our views are being viewed for the first time. They're having theirs ascendant. Because they're dying.
Right, and because they are dying, they need to make more and more things outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and you know what the funny thing is about this is that it is very much about this Marxist Marxist, you know, cultural Marxist perspective that these people hold. Sui Park is famous for starting lots of hashtags. One of the ones that she did was called Not Your Asian Sidekick. And if you don't think that these people have an agenda other than fighting against racist stereotypes and pushing their BS brand of feminism on the rest of us, it's also about dismantling our society, our constitutional values, and our system of free market capitalism. On February 17th, Sui Park said, Not Your Asian Sidekick, which is about killing racial stereotypes, is a radical call to dismantle capitalism, the nonprofit industrial complex, white supremacy, patriarchy, and ableism. It was not a call to celebrate the mainstream, but to instead forge a new path for women of color, feminism, decolonization, and the uprooting of anti-blackness. Now, how in the hell do you get from racial issues to anti-capitalism? It seems to me, Ian,
it's not a jump. It's that this all comes out of Marxist academia.
That's correct. That's correct.
Marxists killed 2/3 of everyone murdered by governments in the last century, and it's commonplace to have Marxist professors.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other things that we have to talk about, which is just hilarious, the timing of this, Bill Maher on his show last weekend produced a segment where they were talking about Paul Ryan and what Paul Ryan was talking about in regards to why perhaps some people in certain communities, which he didn't label who those communities were, he said something about how these people are lazy. They're not getting these young kids these days are not getting up off the couch or doing things. Now he attributed that to Paul Ryan and his panelists, except for the token conservative who was on the panel. The panelists all labeled Paul Ryan a racist. He's talking about blacks. He's saying that blacks are lazy. And then Bill Maher read another quote which he attributed to Paul Ryan, which was about young people who just want to play video games and they just want to be ballers and rappers. And then everybody was like, oh yeah, that's terrible. Obviously it's racist. And then guess what? It was a quote by Michelle Obama. And so the question here is, Ian, is something less true if a white person says it?
Well, I think Bill Maher raised a good point. Bill Maher actually questioned political correctness more from the clip I saw than the token conservative on the panel. I think conservatives can learn from Bill Maher. If you grovel and try to conform to the narrative, you're going to get beaten over the head regardless. So you might as well try and poke some holes in it. Bill Maher's point was that for a conservative to say there are cultural issues to be discussed is controversial and out of bounds, but Michelle Obama can make that remark, and people nod and say that, yes, that's a fair criticism to make.
Yeah, well, here's the funny thing about this is that she's basically making the joke, you cannot make satire that has any sort of racial overtones because it's punching down. But, it's ridiculous to think that there aren't good reasons to quote-unquote punch down, however you might define punching down, because sometimes the masses really are wrong. And sometimes somebody like Colbert has to show the idiocracy of democracy. And if you look at Twitter, they're saying this is kind of like the ultimate, in hashtag democracy. You see how stupid the masses of majority of liberals are. So if there needs to be a punching down, sometimes a bunch of people really do need to get their heads slapped. And it's not, satire isn't always for punching up. One of my favorite satirists is a guy by the name of H.L. Mencken. And he made these jokes about democracy. He said, democracy is the theory that the common man knows what he wants and deserves to get it good and hard.
And it's not about satire itself. If it wasn't about satire, it'd be about the word bossy or something like that. It's about grasping at any straw you can find to sustain this narrative. And I think it's important to emphasize here, whether or not you like Stephen Colbert, the same culture that created Stephen Colbert created Sui Park.
That's right.
I mean, I was assigned, an essay, for instance, once in college by a Marxist feminist who was talking about her disgust at the fact that her young son would clear his throat when he spoke, because throat clearing is a sign of masculine aggressiveness and the patriarchy. And this was assigned by one of my more chill and open-minded professors. I actually liked this guy. This narrative and this vehement and hateful intolerance is so pervasive in academia, I don't understand how anyone could not expect this to be the case.
Well, remember, it's only okay to be racist sexist if the target is a white male. I mean, the thing is that they talk about patriarchy and they talk about satire being against Asians and how it's horrible against blacks and how it's horrible. But we have to sit down and watch every single day commercials about how stupid white males can't take care of their kids. And it's not as if we aren't the subject of satire. I mean, Stephen Colbert's whole shtick is making fun of conservative commentators, right. Making fun of like
exactly.
You know, these white conservatives who are out there. You know, his whole shtick is pandering to the liberals and playing into their
that's
stereotypes.
That's what he was doing. When Suey Park attacked him,
right.
Even he was making fun of racist, stupid conservatives, and then he was attacked as one.
Exactly. But you know what the thing is that when I watch Colbert, I get the joke, and I actually think it's funny. You know why? Because I don't see myself as being above reproach. You know, I think that it is okay to criticize white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male culture. You know, like we have our silly traditions. So there was a great article on Vice magazine last week, you know, the criticisms about the American bro, you know, and certainly I'm, you know, you and I may fit into that stereotype. Maybe myself more so, you know, do you even Liberty bro? But I think that if you are a culture of people who cannot take a joke, that is a culture that is dying, and not because of outward forces, but because of inward forces.
You might have read that article in the Atlantic recently about how beards are racist and sexist when white men
yeah.
have them. So, Austin, you seem to be getting more and more racist.
I'm getting more beardly.
Another example of the
beardish.
Box shrinking and making more things outrageous in order to sustain a dying narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, look at the fact that Suey Park openly said to this guy, because of your skin color and your sex, I don't know what your individual background is,
mm-hmm.
but because of those things, you have no right to speak about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know if he's the son of impoverished Serbian immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
She has no idea what his background is or what his ancestors did or what sort of privileges he's enjoyed. She's making that deduction purely based on his skin color and his sex. That's racism by any stretch of the imagination, and it's now overt.
Oh, well, you know what's funny too about these liberal activists nowadays is that how far they have fallen from their roots of people like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, where, you know, they had their activism was, you know, refusing to move to the back of the bus. And so now Suey Park, she's the new Rosa Parks of being offended, which is to me just hilarious, because I heard this on a YouTube video this morning. You know, the Rosa Parks of being offended, that this is what liberals nowadays, their activism is. Their activism is about being offended, you know,
right.
And it's not about doing something to actually better their place in the world. It's not about going out and fighting, for example, Mayor Marion Barry in Washington, D.C., who was talking about the dirty Chinese shops, you know, and this was, you know, a black man who was being racist. So we sweep that under the rug. But no, it's all about being offended. It's not about doing anything anymore. It's not about fighting for your rights or standing up for the rights of minorities in a positive activist way. It's about trying to silence those who disagree with you. You know, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, those people never tried to silence the people who are against them. They merely use their own free speech and their activism as a tool to show their superior morality. But nowadays, I think the problem is, and the reality is that they don't have the moral high ground anymore. That moral high ground has been taken from them. Feminism's job is done. And so now it's all about being able to give jobs to young activists and speaking engagements to young activists so that they can rail against capitalism and try and hold on to the dying specter of what was once perhaps a useful movement for social change in a positive way.
Well, it's the academic left is overwhelmingly Marxist in character.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that this sort of environment produces are fundamentally authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a libertarian bone in their bodies. We're just seeing a movement that is essentially monolithic, hateful, and intolerant.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and leave it at that. What do you think? Send us an email. You can go to thelibertarianrepublic.com. There's a place on the front, top right, that says send us a tip. We've got a brand new website rollout, so if you've listened all the way to the end of this podcast and you're hearing me right now, do us a favor. Click on the iTunes link there. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. Download us every single day. The Freedom Report podcast is housed at thelibertarianrepublic.com. Also, really cool and exciting, if you guys want a chance to win a replica of George Washington's flintlock pistol, you can enter your email address, go to the George Washington flintlock giveaway. It's on the front page of the Libertarian Republic. Send us your email and we'll get you entered to win. And if we draw your name out of the hat, then we'll send you a copy of our first founding father, his first president's flintlock pistol, which would really piss off Suey Park, because she hates the founders. You know, I saw this today. This one of her tweets was, "Constitutional values were written by a white dude responsible for genocide who owned hundreds of slaves." don't care. Well, Sui, we don't care about you. Well, maybe enough to make fun of you on a podcast, but we're hoping that you'll go the hell away soon. I'm sure you will. We'll be seeing you trotting out your Marxist BS for the next few decades, I'm sure. But if you don't want to hear it, then listen to us at the Freedom Report, your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.